All right, so let's go ahead and look at a couple of these texts. In Luke chapter 14, if you want to turn there real quick. And beginning in verse 1. So in one Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And then in verse 7, it says, "Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when you notice how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, 'When you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the place of honor. Let someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, "Give your place to this person," and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' And then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And so Jesus is teaching here for a minute about this concept of honoring other people or honoring yourself. Now, in the first century, the culture, especially in Roman culture, was all about honor. You know, how much honor can you attain? How can you get honor from other people? And it was mostly all about honoring self. And as you see here in this story, the Pharisees were not exempt from that. This wasn't just a Roman thing, it was also a Jewish thing. And yet Jesus is trying to teach them about honoring others and about putting yourself in a humble position and not honoring yourself, but rather allowing others to honor you. And how countercultural that really was, I think, is probably hard for us to grasp. And so he tells this story about, you know, hey, when you go and sit down, and again, there, when they had a table arrangement, you know, how was it arranged? Yeah, the most important people were up near, you know, the head of the table, right? Whoever the household, you know, belonged to, they sat at the head of the table, and most important people close to him, and then, you know, down the line. And so they would, he was probably told this parable because he's sitting there watching them do this exact thing. You know, here they are. It says that he's in a house of a ruler of the Pharisees, and they are watching him because they're wondering if he's going to heal somebody on the Sabbath. But, you know, he is watching them back, watching how they're maneuvering, you know, for the place of honor. Who's going to get to sit where? And so he tells this story to kind of shame them for their behavior. And he says, no, you know, if you're really smart, what you do is you don't honor yourself. You let somebody, you practice humility and let someone else honor you. And so Jesus, of course, was critiquing them, he says, for their bad manners. He wanted them and us to understand the way to exaltation in God's sight is through humility. And, you know, I think the reason that this really plays into this lesson is because in order to honor someone else, what do I have to do? Humble myself. And so that means putting someone else first. It means thinking more highly of someone else than of myself. And that's very difficult to do. It is contrary to human nature. And so he illustrates here this simple truth that must be present in every local assembly bearing his name. Honor one another. And so what lessons can we take from this parable?
Yeah. I think in this culture, we're so fixated at the moment on being offended. And
yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. If you're that easily offended, if you are that easily offended, that must mean, I mean, you inevitably must be thinking highly of yourself. Right? And also thinking lowly of your whoever's, you know, motives or what they meant.
Vanity.
Yeah. Says the preacher. So you're right. I mean, what a great example for us today in terms of humility and honoring one another is the first step is putting myself last. The first step is clothing myself with humility and thinking more highly of others. Okay. So not only did Jesus, he taught this principle, but he practiced it. You look just a few chapters later in Luke chapter 19, the story of Zacchaeus. And, you know, I don't guess we probably don't need to read the story. I think we're all pretty familiar with the story of Zacchaeus. But, of course, this takes place in Jericho, and Jesus is coming through here. And, he, of all the people that he could have picked to stay with, he sees this short little guy up in the tree, and he says, "Get down from there. I'm going to go to your house to stay." And so Jesus... Huh? Yes. Yeah. And it says very plainly that he was, he was very rich, likely because of he himself admits that he had defrauded people, and he promises to give all that back fourfold. And yet Jesus bestows on him this honor of coming to stay at his house. And again, this is not someone that they would have thought worthy of Jesus' attention. I like what he writes here. He says, "Amazingly, Jesus attached honor to one who had not known it before." I mean, Zacchaeus was used to being looked down upon. Now, maybe at some point in his mind he had made that trade-off and said, "Well, it's worth it because at least I'm going to, I'm rich." But he was used to being looked down upon. And here Jesus is giving him the honor of coming into his house. I like the last sentence. He says, "Because of the honor Jesus bestowed upon him, Zacchaeus was never the same again." And what I get from this is that honoring looks to lift others up. And in this case, he is looking to lift Zacchaeus up out of his sinful life, out of his sinful lifestyle, out of his desire for riches and greed and extortion and just taking advantage of other people. And just one visit with Jesus lifts him up out of that. And it lifts him up out of everyone hating him to where now he is being generous, and certainly it changed his life. And so oftentimes honoring others looks to lift them up. And not only that, but honoring others also looks to give honor to those who have none. I think a lot of times the people that need honor from us the most are the ones who don't have it. The ones who are lowly. The ones who think that they don't have any place in the church. They think they don't have any role to play. They think that no one even knows their name. They think that no one knows what they do. And if we can go to that person and give them honor for the part that they play, no matter how big or how small it is, that lifts them up. And that's what Christianity is all about. It's about giving honor to those who have none. It's about putting others first before yourself. And here we... And I think Zacchaeus is such a beautiful example, because here he is. Isn't it kind of ironic that he's a short guy? Right? I mean, here he is. He's this little guy. And it's not just that he was little of stature, but he was little of esteem. And again, Jesus takes this small person, this person of no account, and lifts him up. And that's the example Jesus sets for us. You take people who are of small account, who are little stature, little esteem, and you lift them up. Not yourself, but others. Especially if that person is within your local body of believers. Especially if it's someone that you know they're struggling. You know they need help. You know that they're down. You take them and you lift them up. That's more important than anything. That's showing love. That's loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Those are the greatest and first commandments, Jesus says. And so are we practicing this principle of honoring our brothers and sisters in Christ? And not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also those of the world, right? They need to be lifted up too. They need to be lifted up out of their sin just like Zacchaeus was. So are we giving them the honor of telling them about Jesus and what he can do for you? All right. Any thoughts on that? Further thoughts on Zacchaeus? And so I'm sorry, I'm lecturing a lot this morning. I apologize. Joe?
In 1 Corinthians chapter, we see there are many members of one body. You have seen that the hand had no need of you, or again, the hand to the feet had no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weak are necessary, and the body which seem less honorable, on the need to be still more honor. Our senior members come to have more unattainment, whereas our senior members are no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks. So we are working with God.
Yeah, that's what that passage is all about, and that's what a lot of this study comes from, is that very passage there in 1 Corinthians 12. It's, you know, we are members of one another, and even the little pinky, right, or deserves honor. Even talks about the parts that seem dishonorable, right? They deserve honor. Vern?
If we lift ourselves up, we have got the strength to hold us fast. But if others lift us up, Christ lifts us up, that's all the power you need there.
That's right. Anybody ever crowd surfed? It's amazing how easy it is for a bunch of people to hold someone up and and drop them. But you got to be careful. All right, so the next page goes to John chapter 13, which I know I already kind of talked about this a little bit and got ahead of myself there, but John chapter 13 in the story of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Yet again, not only did Jesus preach honor, but he practiced it. He practiced it with Zacchaeus, and he practiced it in the upper room with his disciples. And I think it's kind of ironic also that we look at the Pharisees a lot and we want to down the Pharisees because they were the way they were. And yet, Jesus' disciples, it seems oftentimes, were influenced by the Pharisees. And you see that in their attitudes and their actions. And you see that here in John chapter 13, the disciples were basically doing the same thing that the Pharisees were doing in Luke chapter 14. They're maneuvering for position. They're maneuvering for honor. They're talking about who is the greatest. And what does Jesus come back and do? He says, the greatest among you is your servant. And he not only tells them that, but he shows them that. And again, he says, the Savior took a towel, a badge of humility, and without fanfare or announcement, poured water into a basin and moved silently from man to man. And you've got to imagine the hush that came over the room. Whenever he starts, they're probably loud. There's a lot of conversation. They're talking all this, and then he starts, and then it just dead silent, until he finishes washing the feet of all 12 of these men. Well, he got to Peter.
But,
yeah.
How many of us would like be so filled with ourselves? I'm sitting on the fourth pew, and now he's made his way to the second, and now the people behind me are like, I just want the mud puddle. I can't. That's not going down. I can't do that.
Nobody likes people to look at their feet.
There's something that starts well beyond something. I mean, we're going through some exercises here. These kinds of exercises drive me insane. I've told you that before. There's no teeth to it.
Yeah. This is hard. It's hard to put ourselves in this position and to make it real and examine ourselves and say, how do I fit? What am I doing? Am I making this real? Am I serving my brothers and sisters? And if I'm not, then I've got some stuff that I need to fix. And oftentimes, just like these disciples looked like the Pharisees, oftentimes, unfortunately, I think sometimes we can look just like the world. And so Jesus does this, and he gets their attention, and he says to them in verse 14, if I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And he goes on to say in verse 15, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor the messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, Blessed are you if you do them. And I think that's probably the key to the passage. It's not enough to just know it. It's not enough to just sit here in this room and talk about it. You have to actually do it. You're not blessed. And I'm glad that he makes this point. He doesn't say we are blessed if we study about it. We are blessed if we do them. And so when Peter admonishes us to clothe ourselves with humility in 1 Peter 5:5, where do you think he learned that? He learned it from Jesus in the upper room that night. And I think you see that in a lot of the writings of disciples. I mean, they passed on things that Jesus taught them directly. And they paraphrased them. They reiterated them. And they wrote about things that they saw Jesus living in action.
But I think it's a system of equality. Because he says here that the one who sent, the one who is being sent, is not greater than the one who sent him. The slave is not greater than the master, and the master is not greater than the slave. He's talking about equality here. And yet, we need to realize that one person is not greater than another. All men are created equal. And we have that as a theme of this country in which we live, that all men are created equal. And I think that's the real point of this whole message here. You have some who are greater than others, but they don't need to be responded to as greater.
Yeah. I mean, we are one in Christ. We are all equal, right?
While we sometimes focus on the one who is at the lead, and that we need to honor that one that is the lead, we also need to honor the one that is the most. I mean, it's
we're one in Christ.
We're greater than the other.
We serve one another, regardless of who you are, where you're from, what your position is. You know, we all serve one another. We put ourselves in that position.
Just on the one who is at the bottom of the heap. We need to focus on the one at the top of the heap also, and realize that the equality of one man is not greater than another man.
That's right.
Developing an action that really transcends, like the brother's talking. Developing an action that allows me to identify the effort or the one, not to esteem the,
you know, we have heroes,
the perception.
There are people out there that really motivate us, and we look at them as heroes. We have sports heroes, we have political heroes, we have people who do inspire us, and they're at the top. And we don't want to forget those people here.
Yeah, everybody needs appreciation for the things that they do, the ways that they serve, regardless of how noticeable or not noticeable it may be. Vern? Yeah.
But because they have more responsibility, they are being better
right
than anybody else. It means that they have more of an God than maybe someone else who doesn't have the same abilities, but they're not better as far as putting in line.
Yeah.
God and all precious. At least the one with the less ability is still precious to God.
That's right. And so, looking now at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, Paul also wrote about this principle. I prefer to back up a couple verses to verse 3. do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so Jesus gives the ultimate example of self-sacrifice for others by giving himself on the cross. And he demands the same of us. And so he says, think of the ironies in following Jesus. Do you want to be honored? Serve. Do you want to be lifted up? Step down. Do you want to go to heaven? Humble yourself. And this is so backward. And that's what makes it so hard. And so he suggests four things then in the last 5 minutes here for us to do. Number one, give of yourself. And I think that I like that he qualifies this with without expecting anything in return. Because we can give of ourselves all day long, and if you expect something in return, is that really humility? Is that really service? Is it really giving if you're going to get something back? Not really. It's been said that the stature of man is measured by his friendliness and courtesy for someone who can do absolutely nothing for him. And so do you want to honor Jesus? Honor your brother and sister in Christ. Just as Jesus says in Matthew 25:40, to the extent you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. And after all, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so we need to give of ourselves without expecting anything in return. Secondly, go out of your way to help someone. Hospitality is not convenient. If it were, it wouldn't be hospitality. Learn to sacrifice for others. Go the extra mile. And then thirdly, pay a compliment each day. And again, this goes back to where we started, right? It's about building someone up. Being devoted to one another means I am devoted to your spiritual well-being. I'm devoted to your health. I'm devoted to your happiness. I'm devoted to your walk with God. I'm devoted to you getting to heaven. And so I want to build you up. I want to pay you a compliment. I want to go out of my way to help you. Think what would happen if we gave less criticism and more compliments. Nothing lifts someone up more than to hear, good job, I appreciate you, thank you for what you did. And you know, it's a whole lot easier to tear down than it is to build up. A whole lot easier. And so that's something we have to be very aware of. And finally, listen to others. One thing is obvious about Jesus, he always focused on the person with whom he was speaking. He made them feel as if they were the most important people in his life because they were. Whenever you're talking to someone, especially if you're sharing a difficulty or a concern with them, can you tell if they're really listening to you? Yeah. It's really obvious if someone really wants to know what you're going through, if they really want to listen to what's the root cause, if they really want to find a way to help. It's really obvious in their body language. And it's really obvious if they just like, man, I just wanted you to say I'm doing fine and walk away. and they're searching for the way out. They're searching for the next person to go talk to or whatever. And it's really, it's very obvious if someone is actually listening.
There are people that will say, how are you? When you start to explain how you are,
yeah, I mean, does your listening language imply that they are important or bothersome to you? Jack?
We have two neighbors. Not the neighbor one of them, but one of them, they were from us. I don't know if we know what we're doing. I want to talk to them. Maybe they can have sex with a baby. I don't know.
That's too bad. You know, sounds like he was a good example of serving others. So, but you know, I think that it's really important that when we're talking to people, and especially if they're giving us, showing us, opening us up their lives, inviting us in their lives and what they're going through, that we show them undivided attention. And it's only if you do that that you can actually find out and figure out how to help them, to know how to help them. And so, you know, we have to make sure that when we listen, we really listen, and not just kind of listen. And so that's another thing we can do to honor one another. That's how we show them that they are more important than us. Right? Yep. But she listens. That's right. We appreciate that about Karen. All right. So we're about out of time here. He just concludes by saying, if we would employ these humble characteristics rather than grasping and grabbing for significance, think of how we could impact others. One thing is for sure, the person others would enjoy being around would be you. And so that's what we should all be striving for as Body of Christ here at Silver Lake. At this time, we'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back in about 15 minutes for worship. Thank you for your attention.